Now Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Would you pray with me, please? Holy and loving God, we give you thanks that you are our good shepherd. And now, as we listen to your word, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My daughter, Anna, lives very close to the church where she is the pastor. Last Saturday, while I was visiting her, we were outside playing ball with our golden retriever, George, when the carillon in the church bell tower began to play. What I love about hearing those church bells, not only because they let me know what time it is, but because they chime a hymn following the chiming of the hour. The hymn for that particular hour was Christ the Lord is Risen Today. And it reminded me that it is still Easter. I share this story with you because the implications of Jesus' resurrection are so significant, so transformative, so life-changing, that we still have time to focus on what Jesus' resurrection means for us today. It is the fourth Sunday of Easter and traditionally known as Good Shepherd Sunday. You may recall that for the past three Sundays, we have heard stories of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances. But today, a shift in our lectionary readings happens that gives us the opportunity to ponder and to explore the new reality that Jesus' resurrection gives us and the closeness we can experience with God in it. Traditionally, on Good Shepherd Sunday, the biblical texts are familiar. Psalm 23 is paired with the well-known portion of John's gospel when he told his disciples and ultimately tells us that he is the good shepherd. Psalm 23 is perhaps the best known passage in the Old Testament and a beautiful psalm of comfort, of trust, and of thanksgiving. It is frequently read at funerals or memorial services. It says that the Lord, our shepherd, not only loves us, but the words of the text assure us that our daily needs will be met, our every sorrow will be comforted, and that we are not alone in the darkness of the valleys. These expressions of trust are in a God who cares for us, leads us, restores us, calms us, prepares for us, anoints us, and gives us the assurance of goodness and mercy that are the foundation of our hope in this world and in our home in heaven. Now, because of its familiarity, you may be thinking right now would be a good time to zone out for a few moments. You've heard this psalm read and possibly preached numerous times. Like me, you may have memorized it when you were younger. You get the gist of what it is about. But if you do choose distraction over listening, you will miss out on a deeper truth found in the psalm's beauty. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. Those are the words from the Living Bible translation and the words that I sung in youth choir a number of years ago to the arrangement by Ralph Carmichael, an American composer, arranger, and also known as a pioneer at that time of the scandalous contemporary Christian music movement that was beginning. Several years ago, as I recalled this song that I had internalized from my teenage years, I realized that this song, in that phrase, there is a subtle difference between the words that we know, I shall not want, to the Living Bible translation declaring that I have all that I need, which for me implies contentment with the Lord's provision. I shall not want. We can will ourselves not to want. But are we content with the Lord's provision, claiming that we have all that we need? The good news is, in either case, we know the shepherd spares nothing, not even his life, when caring for his sheep. Continuing with the Living Bible translation, it goes on to say, very poetically, he makes me lie in meadows green and leads me beside the quiet streams. The shepherds may have occasionally experienced that image that we see in our mind's eye. However, I encourage you today to look beyond the green pastures and the still waters. More days than not, that was not the shepherds in the ancient Middle East and what they experienced. Green pastures and quiet, peaceful streams were not common, and they did not happen by chance. A shepherd's work was not easy. It was a 24/7 vigil of tending sheep, constantly being alert to danger or to the threat of danger, honing the art of locating vegetation and water and allowing sufficient time for the sheep to graze, yet moving them along for protection for themselves and for the land. The shepherds were dependent on God's provision for themselves and for their sheep. And to think, Jesus identified himself as a shepherd, a vocation generally held by those who could not do anything else, in large part because of their birth order or their economic status. Psalm 23 is about movement and less about quiet solitude with the Lord. It is about trust, moving through the dark valleys of life, because they cannot be avoided. It is more about living and less about death, though the declarations and the images created through these words bring comfort, assurance, and hope at a time of death and for those who are grieving. This week, as I read the 23rd Psalm, my attention was drawn to the word Lord at the beginning. The Lord is my shepherd. And then it is also very near the end when it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But here's what you may not see. Couched in the middle of the text are the words, you are with me. In what is known as literary artistry, the presence of the divine shepherd is with his sheep at the beginning and at the end and in the middle of their journey. In other words, the shepherd is with his sheep throughout their lives. At the very heart of the gospel is the truth and the promise that God is with us. At Christmas, we celebrate that Jesus is our Emmanuel, God with us. This morning, the fourth Sunday of Easter, we know that Jesus proclaimed that he is the good shepherd who laid down his life for us and fills us with the Spirit so that he can be with us always and forever. For you are with me, we declare. Our good shepherd is Emmanuel. God in Christ is with us in our joys and in our celebrations and in the most ordinary moments. Often, we fail to take time to recognize God's presence among us. Sometimes we want to deny that God is with us. But the good news is that God is with us in all of life. God is with us when we question God, when life's challenges bear down on us and cause us to lose hope. God is with us when we grieve that which may never be again, that which is lost, that which will not be achieved. God is with us when we reach rock bottom. Sisters and brothers, siblings in Christ, God is always with you. With all of us, especially in the darkest of our valleys. Jesus made that promise to his beloved disciples, and he promises us that too. And with confidence, we can say, "For you are with me, O Lord." The risen Christ, our good shepherd, our Emmanuel, has given us new life in the waters of baptism in which he joined us to his resurrection. And because he rose again and is still alive, he has given us a new reality, a reality that promises what the psalmist declared, the overflowing refreshment of God's protection, of God's provision, and of course, of God's presence that can restore one's body and soul in this life that God gives us. God in Christ wants us to enjoy this new life now and God's presence forever. God prepares a table for us, a table where we receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, the cup of salvation that strengthens us and keeps us in his grace each and every day. For it is through the holy gifts of baptism and communion, through prayer, through music, the spoken word and actions, that Christ's presence is made known. Psalm 23 invites us to rest in a world that demands productivity, to trust in a world where some have proven they can't be trusted, to see the world and our lives with eyes of abundance instead of eyes of scarcity, to bolster our courage and our strength in times of struggle, even in the face of death, and most importantly, to be in God's presence, confident that God is with us wherever we are. Yes, Psalm 23 has comforted many during times of grief and loss, and will always do so. Yet, this psalm can also bring comfort to any who yearn to be known and find fulfillment in the risen Christ. For in Jesus, we find love, acceptance, compassion, and care. And for that, we say, thanks be to God. Amen.